Let's just remain standing a moment while we bow our heads for prayer. I wonder, while we have our heads bowed, if there would be any in here who'd like to be remembered in prayer. Just let it be known as you lift your hands and say, God, be merciful to me. I have a need tonight, greatly. Our Heavenly Father, we approach Thy throne, Thy great throne of mercy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we approach that way because He told us to come thus, and we would receive what we asked for. And we're so glad to know that we can rest in our hearts upon that assurance that what You say You're able to perform. For tonight we feel that we are, by faith, Abraham's seed, and anything contrary to God's Word, we act as though it was not, because God has said truth, and we believe He has the truth, and He is truth. Now we pray for those who raise their hands, each hand, Lord. You know what they had need of. You know what was in the heart, the very thought of their mind when they raised their hand. I pray that You'll strike out their sins, strike out their sickness, give to them the desire of their heart, Lord. And may they live long, happy lives here, if possible, to see the coming of the Lord the second time. We pray that You'll bless the Word tonight as we fellowship around it, speaking tonight on that great, tremendous thing of right at our door, now going on in our cities and around the world. We pray that You'll give us of Thy Word, Thy unction, Lord, that we might know just how to speak as the oracles of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's one grand and glorious thing to come to the house of the Lord. And we've been so enjoying this meeting here in the church with our brother Buntain and the associated ministers in this great fellowship we've been having, and all the peoples, all the laity, and from the different churches, every creed, race, and kind. Coming down the platform tonight, I just happened to meet some of my friends. I met Brother Alcock here, first time I'd seen him in years. I remember the first time when I was in Edmonton, Canada. I believe you were up there with us doing that meeting. A brother from Hollander over here, nice to see him and the different ones along the way. And I know each one of you. I'd like to have time to shake your hand and go home and see how. I know your wife's the best cook there is in the country. I just know that. So I believe it. And so I'd like to go home with you, but I believe I said something like that about 14 years ago in Canada. But I'm expecting to do that one of these days over in the great millennium, where we can just have plenty of time, don't have to hurry up, kids ain't going to get hurt, there ain't nothing going to harm anything. And I think about going down, I love mountains, and I think about doing a millennium, I'd just like to spend a few million years just roaming around with the mountains, just looking around. I like that. I think about running into a sister out there in the mountains. Maybe she's been there for million years walking along this high lady, well, you know, like with a puppy or something, but she'd be walking along with a big tiger or something. I'd say, how do you do, sister? Well, she'd say, you're Brother Brent. Yeah, how do you do? Sure glad to see you. How long would you think now, if you're counting time, that you'd be out here such a thing as time? Oh, a few million years. That's all. Just tuck a little stroll. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? And it's not just some kind of a mystical dream. It's the truth. It's true. It's really true. We're going somewhere, be somebody when we get there. I like that. Now, last night we were in the book of Revelations, and speaking on the seal of God and the mark of the beast, and I put them both together. By the way, I had some scriptures wrote out, and I left them laying on the hotel table, and Billy went back after them. And I hurried out, I heard him blowing, calling me, and so I thought while he was gone down to get my scriptures, I'd like to kind of review a little from last night and also make some announcements. Now, I got three messages to preach tomorrow, so, and Your small greenie doesn't do my throat too good. It really gets bad. And tomorrow morning, I'm supposed to have the broadcast at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast at Clifton's Cafeteria. I believe it's on Broadway Street. There's two of them there. This is 7th and Broadway, where the usual breakfast is held. And I speak on the broadcast, and then immediately after the broadcast, I want to address the body of believers there. That's tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow night, back here at the tabernacle, or the church, rather. And tomorrow night, I think we should have closing here in the church. It'd be nice if we had a prayer line tomorrow night. Do you think so? After the message, then have a prayer line. So I'll send boys down tomorrow night at exactly 6 o'clock, so they won't interfere with the rest of the service, and give out the prayer cards, and we'll call the prayer line tomorrow night and pray for everyone there. Now, for the healing of their bodies. And then Sunday afternoon is at the Municipal Auditorium, the main auditorium. I think it's a great big place, and we hope you bring some friends with you, because I think it seats about 4,500 or something like that. The last time I was there, it's been about 12, 14 years ago, Brother Charles Fuller was having services there at that time. Great Christian. I'm sure all of you know Brother Fuller from out here. Sunday night at 7 o'clock, I think it is. And then that's this coming Sunday night, the closing of the campaign. Then we go from there to up in Visalia. Oh, my. Some of these names around here, all of them over in there, everything, G's, H, and all this Saint, like this San Jose up here, sounds to me like, they tell me. That's, I heard a fellow one time come up there, while I'm waiting on Billy, he said, went in and said, "Lady, could you tell me, is it a restaurant where Saint Jose is?" I said, "What?" Said San Jose. "No such a place." Said, "Oh, here it is right here on the map." Said, "That's San Jose." And said, "Oh." Said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Kentucky." He said, "Well, out here," said, "all the J's are H's." Well, said, "Back in Kentucky, we call J, J, and H, H." Said, I don't know how you do it out here. He said, she said, "I see you're in the service." He said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "When do you get out of service?" He said, "All around Hooner Hula, I want, I guess." He caught on right quick. He said, "June or July." I said, "Hooner Hula." So all these Spanish names, I get them all mixed up. So, but this is Vin, everywhere it's at, up there. It's somewhere between Fresno and Bakersfield. And then we got the sponsorship of the ministerial group up there, and we have 5 nights, beginning on the 22nd through Sunday. Thank you. And I have 5 nights of service. And we are, any of your friends up around there, well, we'd be glad to have them come up and visit us. We appreciate them coming. Now, when we leave, we don't want you to just quit coming to church now. We want you to just keep on coming. Just keep out on coming anyhow. If I lived around here, maybe this would probably be my church home right here if I lived here. Be right here. I like it. It's a wonderful little church. You got a lovely little pastor here. And I'm sure that any man that preaches the full gospel, I'd be represented there. Because that's why I believe nothing against any of the rest of them. But just for me, my taste, my association would be that. Now, don't forget the announcements now. Tomorrow morning, Clifton's Cafeteria, you who are up there, or tune in, I guess, is it a live broadcast or is that taped? Or, you know, it's a live broadcast. And tomorrow morning, and I don't know what station it comes over, but then I guess the brother here, don't you have a broadcast too here, brother, on Sunday, or is it? No broadcast. And other ministers, we appreciate this fine ministerial group that's been helping us here in the meetings. Many of their people are coming. And I certainly appreciate these men. I want to say something here to them. And I tried, hard to talk my precious little friend out of taking this meeting down to the municipal auditorium. I did. But he had a feeling for the people that said it had to be standing and so forth. But here's the reason I didn't want it, brother. Now, I know that sometimes you hear me rake these denominations, but that's not the man that's in them denominations. That's just the denomination itself.
Yes.
Now, I realize this, that if we go down there tomorrow night, if we had full cooperation with all the ministers, it'd be nice to go down there. That's right. Sunday. If we had full cooperation, all the ministers, where they close their churches and so forth, but to go down there, some of the people, six go be come down to be prayed for, and maybe the ministers didn't know it ahead of time, so they got their own programs for that night. And I don't like to do that, brother. I honestly do not like to do that, because after all, this blanket stretches both ways, you know. That's right. And I do, if anything I have a respect for, is men of God, servants of God. And sometimes, if you find the most suspicious people in the world is preachers. That's right. They're the most suspicious of all of them. But I want to say why. Because they are shepherds. Right. They're guarding their sheep. See, they got a right to be suspicious and wait and watch. But when you see the Word and God working together, that's the time to move in with us, you see. When you see the Word and God coming together. So I just wanted the ministering brethren to know that the reason that was down there is because the brother thought that perhaps they give people a chance, all of them, to be seated. His heart's right on it. I see what he means. But to me, I just wanted to stay right here in the church right here and go ahead. But he said Sunday night there was so many turned away, and then announcing also for healing services, it would make quite more coming. And so now tomorrow night, being at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a prayer line tomorrow night, the Lord willing. To me, the way I feel about it, we have a prayer line every night. See? Because these signs shall follow them that believe, not one night, the last three or four nights, but what the Holy Spirit's come into the meeting among us. Go out amongst the people and call them, tell them who they are, where they come from, what they do, and so forth, and what's wrong, and what'll happen, and all like that. And then people, the faith rises up in the people, and I say, now how many here is believers? Hands all over the building goes up. Now, lay your hands on somebody. Don't pray for yourself, but pray for them, because they'll be praying for you. See? Well, now, if that isn't scripture, I don't know it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen. Amen.
That's scripture. So I feel that every night, every person is prayed for and has hands laid on them. Every night. I do. Now, my hands would be no more than anybody else's hands. It's just another man. But it's God's hand you want on you.
Yes,
and
right.
It's God that made the promise. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they'll get well. That's just what God promised. Then from there, we take up from right there. Now, back to our scripture and to our lesson. Brother Porter, did you read the scripture? All right. I like to hear the Bible read. Revelations, turn right to it. The 7th chapter is where we're going to speak from mostly tonight, I suppose. Now, let's review last night just a little. Now, our subject is this. First we had healing services, and then we went into gospel preaching services. Now, we got two nights of teaching, and tomorrow night and Sunday night is healing services. Now, last night we started teaching on the two subjects that I thought was very essential, and I wouldn't say nothing about these unless I thought it was necessary. See, first thing is to warn the church. That's what the watchman stands on the tower for. When he sees the enemy coming, then warn those that are in the city. And then if the watchman doesn't warn, then God will require the blood of the city upon his hand. That's right. But if he does warn and the people doesn't take heed, then their own blood's upon them. And that's the reason I just lay it out the way it's wrote here, see. And then it's up to you, and at the day of judgment, when I pass away from this world, if I'm still conscious and going, I want to be able to say like Paul, there's no man's blood upon my hands, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, as I know it, just the way it is. Thank you for your letters of commenting and things. I certainly appreciate them very much. Now, the mark of the beast, the seal of God. Now, how many were sure last night? Let's see, it was been in the class. Oh, about everybody, I suppose. All right? Now, therefore, to get a little background where we're going tonight with it. Now, I had to take both of the subjects and put them together because they run parallel one to the other. And we find out, I announced what I thought they were at the beginning, and now using the scripture to prove that I think that this is right. I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. There's only two classes of people. And on the side of salvation and rejecting begin in Genesis, like everything else begins. See, I got a note, they said, could you prove that the assemblies of God started in Genesis? I don't know about the organization, but the Spirit that's in the assemblies of God started in Genesis. That's exactly right. And all the other born-again churches started in Genesis, and all the supposed to be churches, just nominal churches, they started in Genesis. And they both was represented in the first two sons, both Cain and Abel. Cain received the mark of the beast and was sent away. We realize that the serpent, which was the one who had deceived his mother, was a beast and not a reptile. He's the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. And Genesis 4:15, that God sent Mark Cain, and as soon as Cain was marked, he went out of the presence of the law.
Yes. Amen.
Did you get it last night now? Did you read it?
Amen.
As soon as the mark came, he went out of the presence of the Lord and took him a wife from the land of Nod. Now you get it? See how that is? The church. Now God came with just like an ordinary man. He come up, he's just like Esau and Jacob. We could pattern there again. And all through the Bible, we see that spirit moving up, coming up, coming up, and finally it's coming to a head right here. In this age that we're living in now, I believe. Now if you'll notice, Cain was a man, a natural man of the world like Esau. And he was religiously inclined, so he knew there was a God, he believed it, and he went up. Now see, that's where I differed with the churches and said, the only thing you can do is just believe and God recognizes that as righteousness. Well, that is true in one sense. The word is part of the truth, but not all the truth. Fine Baptist brother came to me not long ago and said, Brother Branham, what could Abraham do any more than believe? Abraham believed and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, that's right. But God gave him a sign, the seal of circumcision, that he had recognized his belief. Now, the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. Now, if you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. That's right. Because the seal is a recognition that God has completed and finished his work in you. That's right. And he recognized, sure. Someone said, why do you make it so loose, Brother Branham? St. John 5:24, that's the beginning of the Spirit. You're right. I believe that a man, as soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a portion of the Holy Spirit. When you're sanctified, another part of the Holy Spirit cleans you. Then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. Now, but he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. There's only one type of it. That's God's life. Now we notice that Cain, he made an altar and he put sacrifice on it. He got down and confessed his faith in God and worshiped God. In other words, just like the religious man today, 99 out of 100 almost, they say, here it is. It's the best I can do, Cain said. This is I built an altar. I belong here to church. I made a sacrifice. This is the best I can do. Take it or leave it. There it is. That's the attitude of people today. I go to church. I help them do everything. We build a nice building. We've done all this and we've done all of that. And everything I put into the widow's fund and I do all this. That is the best I can do. Take it or leave it. But God will leave it. He left it there for Cain. He'll leave it there for you. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There's only one provided way for God. That's down the bloodstream to the Holy Spirit. Without that, you're done. You're finished. You'll never go in. Notice, except the man be born again, he can in no wise enter into the kingdom. That's right. You must come, no matter how religious you are, what all you do, that has not one thing to do. That makes you a pretty good citizen, but not a citizen of that kingdom there, maybe of this kingdom here. But the kingdom of God is within you. You're born in the kingdom. Kingdom comes in. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. You belong to that kingdom. That's the reason women don't bob their hair, don't wear shorts. That's the reason men don't smoke cigarettes and things like that. They're from above. Their spirit teaches them righteousness, holiness. They don't swear. They don't use bad language and things. Why? They're born from above. They are different. They're from citizens from above. And now, notice, but the world, they say, well, I belong to church, I belong to the assemblies, I belong to Four Square. There it is, best I can do, take it or leave it. If you picked up a plate of soup and it had a spider in it, you wouldn't eat it, you'd sue the company to give it to you. That's right. That's right. You would do it. You wouldn't eat it for nothing, but just let any kind of an old dogma be passed down your neck and your soul. After all, that body's going to die anyhow. That's right. Here, some time ago, I was at a museum, and they had the analysis of a man that weighed 50 pounds, 150 pounds, rather. His body was worth 84 cents in chemicals. It had just about enough whitewash to sprinkle a hen's nest and so much calcium and everything. All the way up was worth 84 cents. There was two boys standing there. One said to the other, said, John, we're not worth very much, are we? That's right, I don't believe we are. 150 pounds, you're worth 84 cents. You're not very much to begin with, are you? But you sure take care of that 84 cents.
Yeah.
You'll put a $500 mink coat on it and turn your nose up, if it rained, it drowned you. You sure take care of that 84 cents. Yes, sir. But you got a soul in there that's worth 10,000 worlds and let the devil cram anything down and call it righteousness and religion.
Yeah.
Instead of taking God's right way about it. Right. Your soul's worth 10,000 worlds. Your body's only worth 84 cents. You drag it around, sure take care of it. Or you shave it up and fix it up, right? But my, dress it up with that soul. You sure won't dress that. Just let anything drag good it wants to. Give you a spider net, you'd sue the restaurant to give it to you. But a church can tell you, shake hands with the pastor, say you believe in God, worship, and that's all you have to do. If that's right, then Cain was right. But remember, God said to Cain, worship like your brother, and you'll do well. But he didn't want to do it. That's the way it is today. They don't want to worship God in spirit and in truth. They just want to go to church and worship the way the church says worship. Worship what God said worship. Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's right. Put them together, the word and the spirit together. If the Spirit is in the Word will manifest itself.
That's right.
Exactly the reason you see discernment and healings and things like that. It's the Word made manifest. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He never said, go into all the world and build churches or do so and so. Then things are all right. But didn't say, go into all the world and teach the gospel. He said, preach the gospel. In other words, to preach the gospel would be to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said the gospel come not word only, but through power. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It has to be the very next word said, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes, amen.
Right? It has to make the word manifest. And if the Spirit is in the Word, the true Spirit of God in the Word, if ye abide me and my word in you, ask what you will, and it'll be done.
Praise God.
It comes right straight back to Scripture. You can't get out of the Scriptures, it brings itself right back and balances itself up each time. But Cain, he wanted something beautiful. Now, last night I was saying, remember, beauty, that's what the attraction of the eye. The Catholic Church learned that long ago, that through the eye is the gate to the soul, to make beauty and so forth, and people fall for that. Hollywood learned it long time ago. The devil knew it before any of you did. That's exactly right. That's the technique he worked on. The same thing. Set himself a more beautiful kingdom. It's always been beautiful. Even the devil, after the curse come up on him, he become a serpent. He's still a beautiful creature. Look how graceful he can move and how beautiful his colors. Even his curse never took the beauty from him. Do you think Judas Iscariot was an old drunk with a collar up and hair combed sideways? And he was a slicker boy. Yes, sir. Devil's too smart for that. When I went to Pig Alley, Brother Moore and I and I was some friends, we thought we'd see just those old prostitutes of Pig Alley, just something drug out. Satan's too smart for that. The most beautiful women you ever seen. He's smart. Sin is enticing. Sin is beautiful, but it's death. That's right. Don't look at beauty, look at truth. Not beauty. That's what's the matter at the church today. It's jumping for beauty and dying. That's right, because it gets death. Don't want to stay too long on that to go to preaching on it. But, however, we find that Cain then went away from God and took himself a wife out of another group in the land of Nod. That's exactly what the man does that will not come up and worship God in spirit and truth. He goes off and gets him a church that will satisfy him. Goes off. But remember, saith after was the type, Abel being the one that was killed, saith took his place, was a sign of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Placed back again. Notice how them seeds came down last night. Now, we go on down here and get some of our scriptures we're using. Seal being the mark, how that the seal was used instead of a name put on, and the name of Jesus Christ is the seal of God, the righteousness of God. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Is that God's seal? Yes. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Is that right?
Yes.
Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Is that right?
Yes.
Everything you do, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Seal of God. God's mark, seal, identification is the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus comes into you, it puts His Spirit in. No matter how many names you write on the outside of it, if the Spirit isn't there, it bears record of truth. Then we find out that in Eden, God took and marked Cain and sent him out, but Seth stayed in the presence of God, and God gave him his wife. That's the way the true church. It stayed in the presence of God. Oh, I wish I could bring Paul Boyd, the historian, up here. By the way, he had been waiting for 3 years for one of the private interviews. They stand at home. They come from Asia, from Africa, from India, from everywhere, wait for years for them interviews. When they come in on that, we sit there until the Holy Spirit speaks. And this morning while we were speaking, the visions broke. This is evangelistic service at my home and different places. That's where the prophetic goes on. People come who don't know which way to turn. And we wait right there until the Holy Spirit, they don't say one thing, let the Holy Spirit do the talking. And He comes in and reveals it and tells them what they have done, what they must do. Just have that one person alone. No, how God marvelously. So great this morning, I had to walk down to the waterfront down there somewhere, and I run into the pasture down there when I was trying to chuck me so bad, trying to get my strength back again from the great, powerful visions that unfolds and reveals and tells and what you have done, what you ought not have done, and what you must do, and what will come to pass after you do it. Oh, that's God only. And not one time I'll ask anybody in presence or anywhere, was they ever told anything but what happened every time. Just exactly, because they can't lie. It's God. God can't lie. Oh, living under the Holy Spirit. Remember, saith God his wife, God must have given him his wife. He stayed with God. And now the believer that will stay with the Bible and stay with God, then he will, the true church will be the bride of Jesus Christ. The other will have a bride of the world, just anything. We found that last night. And also we read there about where Cain and Abel, where they both begin, and then we brought it over into Babylon, how Babylon appeared in Genesis, and then the middle of the Bible, the last of the Bible. We had where Jesus, when he come on the scene, and when he went off the scene, Judas came the same way, the Antichrist and the Holy Spirit came the same way. The scriptures of that, in Matthew 27, so 26. And then we find out here in, we find Israel, we had Israel and compared it with Moab, how that Israel stayed through the bloodline, true. And we find out here Moab, illegitimate, all fundamental, just the same as Israel was, but Israel, who had the true bloodline, had signs and wonders following them. They had a brass serpent, divine healing. They had a shout of the king in the camp. They had a smitten rock for their salvation. They had a heavenly father feeding them from above. They were having a glorious time, not yoked up with nothing, just an interdenominational floating around, and they was making fun of them because it wasn't even a nation, just a scattered people. But here it is. I hope you get it. They were headed for their homeland. A perfect type of the true church today, headed for the homeland. Amen. Wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins and destitute and so forth, but we are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's the way the true church is moving today. And the great fundamentals like Moab was come out with a perfect sacrifice like Israel had, just as fundamental in everything as Israel was, but didn't have the Spirit. We go on over to Esau and Jacob. God said that the foreknowledge, that the predestination of God might, now did God want to condemn Esau, but knowing what he was, if God's God, he knowed everything, he knowed every flea had ever been on the earth. He knew every gnat would ever be on the earth before the earth was ever created. Yeah. Know how many times it bat his eyes and how much tallow he'd make if he was rendered out. He's infinite.
Yes. Yeah.
Who can say what infinite is? If he isn't infinite, then he isn't God. And if he was infinite, he knowed all things from the beginning. Yeah. And so therefore he could elect, but not because he wanted to, but because his foreknowledge, they know who would and who would not be. That's the reason the entire church, every person that'll ever be in the rapture, their name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, says the Bible. Right. God knew it. Jesus came by the foreknowledge of God that Noah, and Jesus came to redeem or buy back that church. The preachers is like going to the pond and throwing a net in and pulling it. Kingdom of God is like to a man to take a net and went to the seashore. When he pulled it in, he had water, spiders, snakes, serpents, frogs, and everything else, but he had fish. We don't know which is and which is not fish. Only thing we're supposed to do is seine. Brother Buntain's been seine here for a long time. I come out and tuck my net, same with you, Brother Buntain. I cast it out there and pull in. Here they come up around the altar, stand up and make confession of Christ. I don't know which is goat, which is sheep, which is a spider, a frog, or whatever it is, but God knew before the foundation of the world which was. All the Father has given me will come to me, and no man can come except my Father draws him first. All the Father hath past tense given me will come to me. That's right. He said it. Now, I don't know who it is. I just cast in the net and say, come on, ye of weary and heavy laden. And then God knows which is which. I don't. Nobody else knows. It's just up to God. So it's our duty to keep carrying on until he comes. Now, therefore the great church making itself ready. And we find out that Esau and Jacob, before either child was born, God said he loved one and hated the other. And remember, they were twins.
Yes.
Same mother, same father. Get it? Twins. Every revival produces twins. Certainly does. These twins born, the natural man and the spiritual man. It was back in the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel. The same thing. Star of Mary keeps coming on down. Look at the church. Jesus, the pastor. Judas, the treasurer. Brothers. Out of the same tribe. So forth. Right in the same group, same church. One the pastor, the other the treasure, one a devil and one God. That's the way it goes. Jesus said in the last days the two spirits of beasts so close it would deceive the very elected If it was possible. Yes. Amen. If it was possible, but it isn't. They'll never do it. All right. But he receives the true seal, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. Now we're down to begin where we ended off last night on Ezekiel the 9th chapter. How many read it? Did you get great joy out? Read it now. There's where the prophet foresaw Pentecost and told what would take place. He seen six men come from the higher gate, and they had slaughter weapons. Remember, did you notice it was designated only to Jerusalem? Just to Jerusalem, because there's where the Jews, God deals with Gentiles as individuals. But Israel is a nation, God's nation. Yes. A missionary stood in my church. I hear Brother Fred Soffman once in a while say, Amen. And there's somewhere, he's out in the audience. Anyhow, some of the brethren from out the tabernacle, a Jewish brother, been trying to get into Israel all along, trying to do something for the Jews, to say he wanted to win them to the Lord. And he comes to the tabernacle the other morning, he raised up, when the anointing was on, he said, Brother Branham, I'd like to ask you a question, how will I ever get into Jerusalem? I've tried every way. I said, I wouldn't know what to tell you about. That time the Holy Spirit moved and said, it's not so, because Israel will be born in one day. All of us. Oh, we're near. Oh, we're going to get to that in a few minutes now, the Lord willing. And we find out that before the slaughter went forth, listen now, don't miss it. Before the slaughter went forth, he seen a man come forth dressed in white. What does white represent? Righteousness of saints. Now, he had a rider's acorn at his side. He went through the city first of Jerusalem and set a seal upon those who sighed and cried for the abominations that was did in the city. Is that right, you Bible reader? And then when the slaughter went forth, it said, don't spare old, young, children, babies, whatever it is, utterly destroy everything that doesn't have this mark. See? There was nothing left. They either received the seal or they did not have the seal. That's the reason in this day that we're coming in, we're coming right to it in a minute here in the New Testament, that the seal of God is the Holy Ghost, and outside of that is for the slaughter. Pardon me, be lost. Now, we've talked last night, Josephus' writings and so forth, as I referred to, and many of the other ancient historians, Josephus probably wrote of the very days and lived near the time that Jesus of Nazareth walked on the earth. Now, and he spoke of it, that those people that he referred to them, I believe, as cannibals, that was eating the body of Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, it was communion they were taking. He didn't know. He's just unconverted mind. He's just a historian. But they slipped away from Jerusalem when they seen that thing begin to come to pass and got away and went up into Judea and went all away from it. But the Jews, the great organizations, all swung together and come back and said, we'll go into the house of the Lord. Jehovah's our protection. And we've lived in this. God built this house. Jehovah did this. And Solomon dedicated the temple. This is a very holy place. But they rejected the Messiah. When he came to them, just exactly the way the prophecy said he would come. And done the very thing that the Bible said he would do. But he didn't come according to their theology. I hope that don't hurt, but I hope it anchors deep. And they come. He showed his Messiah sign. Just exactly the way the Bible said he would do. How many believe that?
Amen.
Sure he did. What was the Messiah sign? He was a God prophet. See? And when they did it, what did they call that Messiah sign? Can somebody tell me? What did they call it? Beelzebub, a devil, a fortune teller. Because he could perceive their thoughts, know what they were thinking, tell them of these things. And the true Jews, what did they say it was? That's the sign of Messiah. Nathanael said, truly thou art the Son of God. Truly you're the King of Israel. He said, because I told you, I saw you before you come to the meeting, then you believe it, you'll be able to see greater things than this thing. See, you must believe first. Believe it, and then you'll see greater things. Now, we notice what's taking place, but the upright, the big churches, the organizations, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herodians, and all those, they said,
It's Beelzebub.
They had to answer something. They had to tell their congregation, so he said he's of the devil. Now bear that in mind, and they were religious men, holy men, godly men. As far as the world was concerned, one sin against them, they'd be stoned. Scholars, graduated, seminary students, in a line of clergymen, and were condemned, and Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Then don't you condemn the Holy Ghost when He calls you out what you are.
Amen.
Blind leading the blind with the all fall in the ditch.
Amen.
Certainly. Watch the scriptures. Watch the promise. Know the hour that's approaching. Those disciples filled with the Holy Ghost, marked with that sign in their forehead, there, that seal of God, they begin to watch, and when they seen what Jesus said coming to pass, they got out of there.
Amen.
Let me tell you, you better get out too, brother. Wait till we get through in a few minutes. Find out how close we are. Oh, Jesus said that same thing would be taking place just before His coming again. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Promised it, sworn by it, God did, and so forth. So it has to be here. Now, I want you to really just take off the rain coat from around your heart. Take down the umbrella. Just set your Methodist umbrella over in a corner, your Baptist over in a corner, and your Pentecostal over in a corner, and let's look at God's Word. You set them all over there now, and let's look at it, see? The Bible predicted it by Ezekiel, the prophet, and the Holy Spirit coming down just exactly like it said, and even little babies, the Bible, the historian said, now remember, the Bible said, don't spare nothing, little or young or old or all. All that hasn't got this seal of God would be marked otherwise.
Yes.
And look who was marked out of it? Life long men who gave their lives for the clergy. Priest and renowned man. Great priest and scholars. Now how many knows that's true?
Well, sure.
Sure it's true. Just as holy, just as sweet, perhaps fine people, citizens of the country. But that's no excuse. When God sends something and you fail to walk in it, then you're out. That's all. You either do or you don't. That's the way it was. All that didn't get in the ark drowned it, and that was all there was to it, no matter who they were. That's the same thing. All that's not in Christ today will perish without Christ.
Amen.
True. So you can't say, I'm a Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or anything else. You've got to be of Christ. And if you're of a Christ, you do the works of Christ. That bears record and proves that it is. It's just as clear as the scripture. I know how to say it. That's just as plain as the nose on this big face, or a big nose on this face of mine, really. That's right. Now, notice how he did it. Now they was the ones that was warned got away. And all the rest of them went in the city, and the historian says that they eat all the grass off the tree. Titus surrounded it, the city. City of Jerusalem, it was designated. Now, our time is designated to all the world. But this was to the city of Jerusalem, to the Jews only. And Titus, when he came in, he surrounded the city, kept them in there 2 or 3 years. And when he did, they eat the grass off the trees, the bark off of the trees, the grass off the ground, and even borrow one another's children and eat it. Mothers borrow their babies and eat it. Wow, mad. Then finally, when he broke in, he slaughtered and killed and told the blood run out the gates of the city. A great God who's full of love, He is full of love. In order to be love, He has to have judgment, to be just. So He is a merciful God tonight. But my friend, when you stand before Him at judgment on that dark, cloudy day, He'll be a God full of anger. The Bible said so in His wrath. I was down on the front and I was cutting from out, had a cutter down there of stone from Colorado. He had some stone. And he was cutting a little stone I wanted to take to my little girl for a little thing to go on her neck, a little cross. And so he said, you cut show me where to cut it. And it's all clear, and then it looked like kind of ragged, like clouds hanging down. And I put that at the top of the cross. And the lady said, "Why would you do that? Won't you cut the pretty clear part out here?" I said, "The cross is not pretty. It's an emblem of suffering and shame." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "That's the clouds of God's wrath. Yeah. God poured his wrath out upon Christ. You took my place at Calvary. He died under the judgments and wrath of God. God poured out his fierce judgment upon him. And he took my place." I said, "I was a sinner, and he took my place." And I noticed tears coming up in the woman's eyes. I said, "We are sinful, and we have no hope. But God know that we had to stand these judgments, and Jesus took them for us. And them clouds hanging over the cross was God's wrath pouring out upon him. And he bore the wrath of God in his own body that we might be free." Oh, what a story. What a truth. God's wrath. Now you see how it was represented in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter of Jerusalem. Now we come to Revelation. And now I'd like you that's got your pencils to write this down. I'd like you to write down Revelation 14, 6 to 12. That's the three last angels, three angels after the seven last angels. There were three special angels come forth. Did you notice that? And now I want you to notice them three last angels. The first angel, that's Revelation 14, 6 to 12. The first angel had sounded the trumpet of the gospel and had the everlasting gospel preached to all the world. The second angel kind of preached a holiness gospel. See? Because he said that the church had committed fornications. And the third angel roared out to escape the mark of the beast. Watch. The first angel at the Reformation, Luther, preached the gospel. Second angel, Wesley, sanctification, the fornication, he straightened up for the church. But the third message, the Pentecostal message, should be the true messenger, warning them to escape the mark of the beast, saying, "Whosoever receives the mark of the beast, will same will drink the wrath of God poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation be poured out upon the people." That's the very message today. The third angel, the third message, the last message, the Lutheran message of justification, the Wesley message of sanctification, and the Pentecostal message of the seal of God. Escape the mark of the beast. Come out of them big walls of Babylon. Be sealed into the kingdom of God. Amen. Notice the very next verse, the 12th, 13th verse. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." What's the next? Armageddon. Church is gone then at the third angel's message. Was preached another day in the church of them angels and given the seven last angels and the angel's message. And this special anointing come of those three ages, those three last angels. Notice now in Revelation 7, John packed away in the Spirit into glory, and he saw this coming. He said, "I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds." Now listen close. Keep your scriptures ready to be written. "Holding the four winds, that the winds should not blow upon the earth until they had sealed the servants of our God in their forehead." Now compare that with Ezekiel 9. "See him come forth with slaughtering weapons and hold until the rider went forth and sealed." Notice, 9 years. "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God coming from the east. And he was to seal the servants of our God in their forehead." Now we know that the church is never called servants. The church is sons and daughters. Israel is God's servant. Abraham was his servant. Israel is God's servant, but the church is called his sons and his daughters. Did you notice? "Hold the four winds." How long? Until we have sealed the servants, Israel, of our God in their forehead. Oh, let me go drop back on a little history before we go any farther. Watch what's taking place. Now, the servants of our God, Israel. Israel was scattered one time into Babylon, or down into Babylon. Then when they were brought back out the second time, first time is Egypt, and then Babylon, then scattered by the Roman Empire. And Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, learn a parable, as I started on last night showing you. They asked him three questions, and he answered their three questions. But when they want to know when the time of his return would be, he said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its buds, and all the other trees, know that the time is nigh, even at the door. Now the old hypocrite gets a hold of that. The old unbeliever said, that generation passed, the other generation's passed. He lied. He didn't lie. Because they don't have the spiritual application of the word. He didn't say the generation then. He said the generation has seen the fig tree putting forth its buds.
Yeah.
Watch back in Joel, the second chapter, where it preached on you not long ago. The four insects. What the palmer worm left the caterpillar eating, what the caterpillar left the locust eating. You remember preaching around, I think it was here in California at the breakfast. I believe it was in Phoenix. What the Methodist left the Baptist eating, what the Baptist left the Pentecostal eating. It had tore the whole vine down, but I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And watch, that same insect is the same thing, only in different stages. The palmer worm becomes the caterpillar and so forth and on down. And that's the insect starting eating off brotherly love, taking the Bible and substituting something else. I give the four major things and prove it by the Scripture, the thing they eat out. The teaching of the true Word of God. Brotherly love, as Paul said already, starting 1 Corinthians 13. All those things, how to eat it up and just eat the church plumb down to a stub. But he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. That's right, all the years that they had eaten. And all the things that they had done. Notice, Israel, when he has always been this fig tree, when you see this tree putting forth its buds, what? The generation that sees Israel becoming a nation. That generation will not pass until all be fulfilled. Watch. Oh, don't you see it? Here, look at them. Now, God's always had to drive the Jews. They never had the Holy Spirit. Many of them wouldn't even believe their prophets, their messengers. And he had to drive them. And that's what he's going to have to do to the Gentile church. He's going to have to break down these denominational barriers. We're letting communism start eating around us, and then we'll have to come together. God will make his word fulfilled because the covenant is unconditional. Not if you will, I will, but I have already done it.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Oh, I love that.
Amen.
That just makes me feel religious. Notice what he did here now. Not if you will, I will. That ended when Adam broke his covenant and Israel broke her covenant from Exodus 19 and so forth. But this is covenant's grace. God swore, told Abraham, he swore by himself that it would be thus. And he took an oath by himself. So through the true seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ, which is the grace of God, and no more law to it.
Amen.
No, sir.
Hallelujah.
Law is not connected with it at all. You're above the law, over the law. It's love. Love is above the law. Grace. Law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Wish I had a few more nights to preach on hearing him on that. On the Mount Transfiguration, you'd sit perfectly. How God, we take that and work that in there and show just how them laws and the tutors and so forth and what takes place. However, now notice, Israel, God had to harden Pharaoh's heart to drive him out the first time. And he's done the same thing this time. He hardened Hitler's heart against the Jews. That's what started the war. Remember, God said, everyone who curses Israel, I'll curse them. Who blesses Israel, I'll bless him. And he was scattered all over the world. And then he hardened Hitler's heart, hardened Mussolini's heart, hardened Stalin's heart, all the different hearts of the nation. He hardened them, and finally opened up the way. And Israel is returning and already in her homeland. If you want to see what day of the month it is, look on the calendar. If you want to see what day in the season it is of the coming of the Lord, watch where Israel's setting. That's God's timepiece. There she is sitting in her homeland, the oldest flag in the world, the six-point star of David. The oldest flag in the world flies again for the first time for 2,500 years. Yes, sir. Yes, the ensign that was to be lifted up. Israel, Palestine, blossoming as a rose. You read in the magazines and watch how they come back. Way down to Iran and so forth. Look magazine, packed articles, how they went out there with them Jews. They wouldn't get on that airplane. That old rabbi went out there and said, our prophet told us, Isaiah, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that when we come back to the homeland, we come back on the wings of an eagle. There it sits.
Amen.
Amen. They got right on the way they went. When Brother Larkin got one of our brethren here, one of them went ahead and he come out the west coast this time. He was there taking the pictures. Other pictures. Got one 3 minutes to midnight. And science says that's what it is, 3 minutes to midnight. And we look over there and see all them Jews placed in their homeland. Louis Petrus, how many ever heard of him? Stockholm Church in Sweden. Wonderful brother. He said to me, Brother Branham, the Jews has always believed their prophets. Said, if you just go down to Israel. I said, fine, that looks good to me. He said, look, I sent around a million of these testaments to read from the back to the front, and they read them New Testaments. They asked these Jews, they said, what are you coming home for? Bring your papa and mama, them blind and sick and packed them in, come to the homeland to die? Said, we come to see the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, don't worry, Gentile, your day is just about over. Let me warn you in the name of the Lord, the Gentile door is closing just as certain as I'm staying here. Jesus said the Mohammedans there would tread down the walls of Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation be finished and fulfilled. There she is, Israel in her homeland, a nation with her own army and her own money.
Amen.
Amen. She's a full nation now. The fig tree is putting forth its buds and already budded out.
Amen.
And when they got there, they give them these New Testaments. That's Louis Petrus. They read this New Testament about what Jesus was. They never heard about him. They said, if this be the Messiah, then he's not dead, then let us see him do the sign of the Messiah, and we will believe him.
Amen.
Let us see him prove we believe our prophets, and the Messiah will be a prophet. Let us see him do the sign of the Messiah, a prophet, and we'll believe him is the Messiah. Oh, what a perfect setup. This perfect. I said, Lord, let me go. And when I got off at Cairo, Egypt, just before we met that king, through, and we at Rome, then we went out of Cairo, Egypt, I had my ticket in my hand to go. I went up and they done called the flight. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, not now. This is not the hour yet. More gleaning to do. I couldn't hardly believe it. I went out behind the hangar. God is my judge. And I prayed, knelt down, I said, Heavenly Father, just another hour or two and I'll be in Palestine. I'll challenge those Jews and say, did you say that if that Messiah be the true Messiah, let you see him do the sign of the prophet and you'll believe him? Get a Jew to promise you he'll keep his word.
Amen.
Now, if that's the Messiah of the Bible, then he was a prophet. And he is still a prophet.
Amen.
Now, if he does the sign of Messiah, will you believe him?
Amen.
Right on the same ground, say, select yourself a group of men, set them out here somewhere. Find out whether he's the prophet yet or not. Let us see it be done. Then right on them same grounds where your fathers, forefathers rejected the Holy Ghost, a Jew took it to the Gentile. Your Gentile, bring it back to the Jew.
Yes.
When that Jew receives the gospel, the Gentile days are finished. But he wouldn't let me go. Why, I don't know. Here, just a minute, we'll show you in the scripture why. Notice, harden their hearts. Now, when was there ever a complete global strife after that time? Was the First World War. All of the armies, the nations, were gathering into one. There was riding on the decline of the First World War. Nobody knows today who ever made an issue of peace. Kaiser Wilhelm said he didn't do it. No general said he didn't do it. But notice how strange it was. It was on November the 11th at 11 o'clock in the day. The 11th day of the month, the 11th month in the year, the 11th hour of the day, and 11 minutes till 11. What was it? Hold! Stop mysteriously. What did it? God's issue went forth to hold it.
Amen.
Hold the four winds. winds means war and strife, we know, until we have got Israel back in Palestine again. Hold the four winds and stop right there on the 11th hour, because remember Jesus speaking of the 11th hour people? And the one that come in on the 11th hour, what did he say? Oh, don't be dumb, be spiritual. Look, how did he say? The 11th hour people got the same wage the one did it come in the first hour.
Amen.
Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to go right back and seal the Jew like the first one was sealed. Amen. The 11th hour people.
Hallelujah.
Hold the four winds. Don't let the world be destroyed until we seal the servants of our God in their forehead. That's been right 50 years ago when the Holy Ghost come from the east, fell upon the people, and the Pentecostal Azusa Streets and so forth started. Now, what is going to happen? They have to hold it. Don't destroy the whole earth, because they couldn't have done it then anyhow. But now they've got the record bomb that will destroy the whole earth. That's right. Hold it until what? Until we have sealed in the foreheads the servants of our God.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
There you are. Seal the servants of our God in their forehead. And he goes ahead here and said, I heard the number of them was sealed was 144,000. Give 12,000 of each tribe. Oh my, don't you see what I mean? The scripture perfectly putting it. Now remember, all without that perished. Now, First World War, Second World War, and now we're ready for the Third World War. Brewing everywhere. What is it? Israel's in her homeland waiting for her Messiah. The Gentile church, the Pentecostal age, Luther, Wesley, and now the Pentecostal age has got lukewarm and spewed Jesus out, and he's spewing them out. Right, the Pentecostal age. But just at the end, before the world is to be destroyed, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That the Gentile church would receive the same power, the same angel, the same witness.
Yes. Amen.
Surely you can see that. It's just as plain to be. A child could see it. See? There you are. We're at the end time. Everything declares it. Anywhere you want to go in the Bible, laying right here, look at here. The world's nervous. What's the matter? Everything. The nations are shaking. Nations are shaking. Israel awakening. The signs that the Bible foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. That's right. The day of redemption is near. Man's hearts are failing for fear. That's right, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trim that clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Oh, what's the matter with this world? Oh, wake you people and turn to God. What's the matter with you? Can't you see the great shaking of God? His angel coming down, moving, doing the same signs and wonders, just exactly what he said he would do.
Yeah. Amen.
Nightly right before you. What's they look like? They ought to know about Washington, D.C. He did not go to Ephesus. He came to his own. This angel did not go down in Sodom. It did not go with the rest of the modern Billy Graham and them. They went out there and tried to call him out. But this angel stayed with the elected church. Yeah. Abraham to pull him out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory. How wonderful. What is the seal of God? What is the seal of God? Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day that the church is redeemed up into glory. Now again, you'll put another scripture. Ephesians 1:13. Paul speaking. Galatians 1:8 said, if an angel from heaven come preach anything else, let him be accursed. Yes. After you believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. After you believe, you, now Baptist brother, Presbyterian, let me ask you something. You say you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? Paul said, after ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost. Afterwards. Acts 19. Paul met some Baptists, Apollos, a converted lawyer, one of John's disciples, up there preaching the gospel, having great joy, and shouting and praising God. Still they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Paul come over and stayed all night with Aquila and Priscilla. He'd been in jail for preaching the gospel and casting the devil out of a girl. And then he come on over to where they were at. And they took him up to this, because they were tent makers, he abode with them. And they went up to where Apollos was having his meeting. After the service was over, Paul said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Some man said today, it's not that way in the original. I defy that. Go get the emphatic diagnostic and see if it don't say the same thing. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Right here it said, after you did believe, then you were sealed with the Holy Ghost upon us. Don't take that lukewarm bride out there. Come on in here. Come into the stirring. Get on the beam of Christ. The Holy Spirit, you're from heaven. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you've been? Said, we not know where there'll be any Holy Ghost. Said, how was you baptized? Said unto John, we've been baptized, so that won't work no more. And he commanded them to be baptized over again in the name of Jesus Christ. Laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied and magnified God. After they had been believing, shouting, and having a great time, they did not have the Holy Ghost yet. What did Paul say? If an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Because Satan can transform himself, but stay at the Word. That's right. Now, after you believe, then you become Abraham's seed. Truly Abraham's seed. How we become Abraham's seed? Being dead in Christ. Then we're Abraham's seed. And heirs with Abraham according to the promise. After mentioned means a finished work. After you believe. After means something that's been something before that, then this is a finished work. The seal is the finished work. When you write your complete letter, everyone's going to be seal it with your name. After the package is all done up, seal it. When you go out on the, I used to work on the railroad with my daddy for a while. We had put a spur in, I watched, we'd load it out there. When we loaded all the car, just as good as it could be, the box car, the inspector came by and he shook it. He went through and see if anything is loose. If anything is loose, he condemned it. That's what's the matter with the inspector going by tonight. He goes by a lot of our lives, the reason we don't get the Holy Ghost. Oh, we might carry on and act like we got it, but the fruit you're knowing. That's how you're knowing. And he shakes and finds a little loose place here, unbelief. A little loose place over here. A little loose place here, he condemns it and sets it back again. It's got to be packed tight. Amen. Because you got a rough road to travel. And when God gives a man or woman the Holy Ghost, he shakes every loose feather in him out. You got a ride coming. Amen. See if she's packed up right. What did he do? Justification, he called her. Sanctification, he cleansed her. The Holy Ghost, he sealed her. Packed in tight. Then they closed the door. Then what's the last thing? Puts a seal on that railroad car to its destination. Amen. Amen. Not to the next revival, but to its destination. Amen. Amen. Whereby, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the next revival comes along. No, until you take an oath to join the other church. No, until the day of your redemption. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, it's a finished work. Amen. Amen. Well, baby, I said in the night, comes forth. What's the first thing in natural life? Water breaks. It's the natural birth. What's the next? Blood comes. What's the next? Life comes. The same elements come out of Christ as what we go through to his, get back into his body. What was the first thing come? The spirit inside. Water came forth. Blood came forth. Into thy hands I command my spirit. 1 John 5:7. You want to put it down. It said, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. But there's three that bear record in earth. The water, the blood, and spirit. They're not one, but they agree in one.
Yes. Yes.
You can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. But you can be justified without being sanctified. You can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost. But when His Spirit is for justification and sanctification, the seal of the Lord Jesus Christ by the baptism is put upon him. Amen. Got 10 more minutes. I hope we don't have to carry this over until tomorrow night. After means of finished work has done already been completed. Now, my precious friend, I do not make any differences in churches. They're all just the same to me, the denomination. If I have to call a church's name here, I'm not meaning it in any word. There's just as many good people in that church as there isn't any, because there's only one church. And we're not joined into it. We don't have any name in this church. It's just the body of Christ, the mythical body. You have your organizations, and that's perfectly all right. As long as you don't draw your fence down here, don't let your brother in, see, or condemn him. The thing, if you recognize that there's a brother over here and a brother over here, then that's all right. But the people, when you get organization, they hang to the organization instead of the cross and Christ. See? Therefore, if you got an organization and you draw it up, and if you end it with a comma, we believe all this plus as much as the Lord will reveal to us, that's good. But when you end it with a period, you die right there. And show me one's not ended with a period. Sure it is. See? Not the people in there, no sir. The Catholic Church, that's the first organized church in the world, was the Catholic Church. Ask any historian. Show me where there was an organization before that. The Catholic is the mother of every one of them. Revelation 17 said the same. Said she was a whore, and she was a mother of harlots. Now, they couldn't have been sons, they had to be daughters. So that's the Protestant harlot denominations with her. That's right. What's the difference? Then they're both the same. Honorous woman in Long Beach can bring forth a virgin daughter, but if she takes back the habits of her mother, she becomes what her mother is. That's just exactly what happened to our Protestant churches. I'm going to call the attention to one denomination of church, the first church that ever spoke to me about Jesus Christ when I was a sinner, the Seventh-day Adventists. The Seventh-day Adventists said the seal of God is the Sabbath, because a seal shows a finished work, that He's been sealed in the Sabbath. And keeping the Sabbath day is a memorial that you're sealed. Now, you Adventists know that. You know Dr. Smith and the Home Bible Circle readings and all that. I have all of my study and all Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth like that. Whenever they raise up, I know their points. See, I know where they're going to. So, now, a Sabbath day is not a seal. A Sabbath day was a seal of God's creation. He finished it then and sealed it. That's right, with His Sabbath. But it was a type of the Christian Sabbath. Now, after He had finished His creation, He gave them the Sabbath as a seal. That's exactly right, that He had finished His creation. Then when He finished His plan of salvation, He had another seal.
Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Now, my Adventist brother, I want to ask you something. That's exactly right. The Sabbath, that's kind of a strange word. The Sabbath really is a Hebrew word, which means R-E-S-T, rest. It's a rest day, Sabbath day. You quit working and so forth. God finished His work, never did come back no more. Hebrews 4 speaks of it there. For God did rest on the Sabbath day, and He said in a certain place another time, and David, today after so long a time when you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Then if Jesus would have given them another Sabbath, He'd have afterwards spoke of it. But there remaineth a Sabbath keeping to the people of God, for we which have entered into His rest have ceased from our works like God did from His. When do we enter into His rest? Now, you with the pencils. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, 8-12. Here's where you get it. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Hold fast to that which is good, for with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the Sabbath, this is the rest that I said would come. And for all this, they would not walk away wagging their heads and so forth. He said that the seal of the finish of salvation, Luther justification, Wesley sanctification. But when the Sabbath come, the real rest day, it would be when stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the finished work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the seal.
Amen.
This is the Sabbath. Don't you see? It's the Holy Ghost, brother. That's when you enter into the finished work. If you've just been justified, that's all right. That's good. If you've been sanctified, that's good. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a finished work, and God has completed His plan of salvation, sealed it with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
How many believes it?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in every place in the Bible is a finished work. And God completed His work. He called His disciples by justification. He sanctified them, and John 17:17 gave them power against unclean spirits. They went out and cast out devils and come back rejoicing. He said, don't rejoice because you cast out devils and they're subject to you, but rejoice that your name's written in heaven. I want to ask you something now, my brother. If your name's written in heaven, does that still do it? No, sir. No, indeed. Judas is right with him. Judas is just as big a duck in the puddle as the rest of them was. He come right along through justification, went out through sanctification, prayed for the sick, had great results. But when it come to Pentecost, he showed his colors. And that's just exactly what the denominational churches has done today. They've come through justification, sanctification, but when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a bunch of tongues and signs and wonders and angels appearing and so forth, they don't want nothing to do with it. So they're so, it's so close together to deceive the very elected if possible.
Yeah.
Hey! You're going to call me a holy roller anyhow. I guess I am. I've never rolled yet, but if you'd ever tell me, I'd come right down through there rolling just as hard as I could. I'd rather roll in than not get in at all. So all right. Notice, brother, it is the truth. Remember, when Jesus came, Daniel, he came to the Ancient of Days, whose hair was white as wool, which means he was a judge, like all the judges wear a wig of white wool. Judges, you notice he's girded about in Revelations around the pap, not as a priest down here around the way, over the paps like this, as a judge. The judge robe. You judge. That's the reason John didn't see him on any Sabbath day or on any Sunday. He seen him in the Lord's day, the coming of the Lord, when he would judge.
Amen.
No, these other days. We see him over in here now. We see him when he come, Daniel saw him. And he come with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the books were open and another book was open, which is the book of life in every man. See? There comes up your lukewarm church, sleeping virgin. Here is the real one with him come from glory after being at the wedding supper. And there was a sinner. White throne was, the judgment was set. White throne judgment. Oh, there you are. Here come this church right up. Judas worked right around, deceiving through justification. Worked up into sanctification. Went out and healed the sick and had healing services and things and turned back. But when he come to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he showed his color. Now my Wesley friend, my Nazarene pilgrim holiness, not to hurt your feeling, don't you call that bunch of people crazy that speaks the tongues. Don't you call them a bunch of holy rollers and a carry-on like that. Because right there, Judas come right up and you say, entire sanctification is the Holy Ghost. I differ with you. Sanctification is what cleanses the glass. The Holy Ghost is what fills the glass. That's exactly right. Here's a glass. What if I find it out there? It's full of mud out in the chicken yard somewhere. Would you, woman, go and put some water in that for your husband? Well, I wouldn't want to be your husband. But then, if it doesn't, what if the first thing you do, you pick it up out of the miry clay? That's justification. Then what do? You take it in and put it through a process of boiling and sterilizing and clean it. What does sanctify mean? It's a compound Greek word which means to be cleaned and set aside for service. Right. The word sanctify in the English means make clean. And Hebrew means make holy. And the Greek means sanctify. Sanctify, clean, and holy is the same thing. It is what? Sanctified and set aside for service. But blessed are ye that hunger and thirst for this righteousness, for you shall be filled, put in service, and sealed until the day of your redemption. Oh, it's the seal of the Holy Ghost, brother. That's the seal of God. That's right. Sealing. Now the Jews is the next to receive it. The Pentecostals has had it. The Methodists, Baptists, all them come out from different organizations is sitting right here tonight. I'm a Baptist myself, or was. I'm still a Baptist, but I'm a Pentecostal Baptist with the Holy Ghost. I'm a Nazarene Pentecostal Presbyterian Baptist. You know what I mean, all in that. What it is the Holy Ghost, what made the difference. That's what sealed me into the kingdom of God. That's what sealed every Methodist, every Catholic, every Presbyterian. We're all human beings. And by one Spirit, we're not all joined into one church, one hand, we're all shook in one water, but by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body by the Holy Ghost and sealed until the day of our redemption. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, you believe it?
Amen.
Now remember, on the earth there's only going to be two classes of people. I'm getting late now. I've got to close. You believe how many believes that the Holy Ghost is the seal of God?
Amen.
Now remember, we brought that pro and con right along, this other lukewarm church, just a denominational brother. See what I mean? Going along the side. Just like it says over there, many gets turned up in that Hebrews there. See? If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Take a mother, like someone asked me, what does that mean? If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Well, he hasn't ever got into it yet. That's right. He just received the knowledge of it. Just like in Israel, when Israel started cross going into the promised land, they sent the spies out. Two of them come back and said, we can take it. Joshua and Caleb. The other said, no, we can't do it. So they hung right there on the border until they died, and the one believed the promise went over in. Like a woman, a boy gets a call in his life. He said, well, mama washed over the washboard to send me to school. I want to be a minister. All right? And he becomes a minister. He goes away and gets his a PhD or his doctor degree or whatever he gets, and he comes back, his bachelor of art or whatever, he comes back. Anyhow, he's a minister. Then he's always lusting and things in his church, the ladies and the different things. Maybe he smokes, and he knows he oughtn't to. I say, God, that don't look good for a man of God. Then take that thing away from him. He's sanctified. He comes right up to the borderland again. He looks right over and sees the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he says, if I do, the denomination will throw me out. Go on back and die in the borderland then, if you want to. He that sins. What is sin? Unbelief. I want somebody to tell me one definition of sin besides unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. Right. He that, you don't even get the first, why, committing adultery is not a sin. Smoking cigarettes and drinking is not a sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do that. See? That's right. That's exactly right. See, there is unbelief. What is it? If we disbelieve willfully, that you out here tonight, Presbyterian, Methodist, or you without the Holy Ghost, if we disbelieve willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You turn your back on God, what do you do then? Seal yourself away and take the mark of the beast and go off like Cain did. From the presence of God. That's shaking, isn't it? Come right up to the borderline and then don't believe it. You believe it, but you're scared to take it. He that sins willfully, disbelieves willfully, after he's received the knowledge of the truth. Quote that with me. He that sins willfully, after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a fearful looking for the jar for a judgment, and I will repay, saith the Lord, and it's a fearful thing that I fall into the hands of the living God. After it's brought right up to you and showed you that is the seal of God, and just because of prestige, you'd have to give up something or quit your denomination or something to receive it, and then walk away from it. You know what you do? You seal yourself out of the kingdom. Mark of the beast. When God told Cain, said, just go over and worship like your brother. Bring a lamb. Come down here and worship like your brother. Said, you'll do all right. Do as your brother does, you'll be all right. But he wouldn't do it. Said, this is the best I can offer you. Take it or leave it. And he was marked and went out of the presence of God.
Amen.
Now, this may hurt, but brother, when I get down that great stormy morning, fire falling everywhere, people screaming and crying, now I hear the old lifeboat blow. I want to be sure my ticket's right, brother. Like the old colored man said, Lord, I talked with you a long time ago. I don't want no trouble at the river. That's right. I want no trouble at the river. No, sir, you better fix it up now. Now, after this night, it's on your hands. He that will disbelieve it willfully, after he has received the knowledge of the truth, seeing the angel of the Lord come in, proving everything at the last day, Then the everlasting gospel be preached by Luther. Then sanctification be preached by John Wesley. And now the gospel in your warning against marking. Don't turn away. Come up close to Christ. You say, now, Brother Branham, that's the mark? Yeah. Let me give you a little scripture here just for a minute. I want you to turn with me to Exodus, or you don't have to, just mark it down. Exodus 21:6. If a slave had been sold out, and now come the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, the Jubilee priest sounded the trumpet. How many knows that? The trumpet was the trumpet, and he sounded it, and when he did, every slave could go free back to his home. He was out in the field chopping with a hoe, and somebody over here whipped you with a whip, and you hear, what was that? What was that? Gospel trumpet sounding, the good news. Throw that hole down and turn right around and say, you have no more rule over me. Going home to my wife and kids. I was sold over here in slavery. But you hear that trumpet sounding? That means that I'm a Hebrew. I have a right. I'm a birthrighted man. I have a right. I can go free without anybody's money. Not if you do this or you do that. See, the whole thing was grace. Amen. Amen. Not if you will, but if you'll hear the trumpet. The Jubilee year. The Lord preached the acceptable year. The Jubilee year. How we could, but I'm watching that clock go on in that. But if you hear the trumpet, see, hearing, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Not just listening to your ear, but if you hear, that means you understand it. You accept it. I hear you. I believe it. See? It's hearing. Stephen said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised the heart and the ears. See? Uncircumcised. They could hear it with the ears, but uncircumcised, you couldn't believe it. See? Uncircumcised in the heart and ears, understand it. Oh, it's all a mystery to me. I can't. Take it or leave it. I'll join church. That's as good as I can do. All right, Cain. You'll mark with the beast and go right on off in your denomination. But if you can come to Christ and be sealed by the Holy Ghost, you take your choice. Now watch. You hear the gospel trumpet. What is the gospel trumpet? The good news. The Holy Ghost is here. How do you know it is? Watch it work. See what it does.
Amen.
It's the good news.
Amen.
Now, what if this man said, chop and said, well, I don't believe I want to go. To turn it down, what did they do? They took his master then, had to take him down to the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, or Presbyterian church and take him up to the wall and stick his ear up against the wall and take an awl and bore a hole in his ear and marked him. And never was he free no more. And if you hear the truth and turn away from it, then your ears stopped and you'll never hear it no more. You'll go out of the presence of God. Said, my mother was Presbyterian. I'm just as good as the rest of them. Your mother lived in all the light she had, but that ain't you. Right. Caiaphas has lived in all the light he knew, but Jesus was on earth at that time. All them Orthodox believers, they had their great organizations, denominations, and everything. They walked in all the light they had, but the light was right before them, but they were stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears, didn't want to do it.
Amen.
And then God sealed them, and they doomed them right there in Jerusalem, and died. Went to hell. Right. Take your choice. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with His Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. It shall be light in the evening time. That's right. While the evening lights are shining, why don't you receive it? Why don't you come to it? Don't be sealed away. Don't sit dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be sealed into the kingdom. What is the mark of the beast? To reject the Holy Ghost. See, the borderline. See, after he's once come to the knowledge of the truth, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened, see, coming up to the knowledge of the truth and seeing if they see the truth and see the knowledge of it and see it's here, see it working, see it's right, and have a knowledge of the truth and then turn away. Again, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Just like Cain at the beginning, so will it be at the end. That's Hebrews the 10th chapter. And will be marked away from the presence of God and be a Baptist, Presbyterian, or a Pentecostal by denomination only the rest of their days. They'll serve their denomination instead of serving Christ. Serve their creed. Be a Catholic, be a Methodist, be a Protestant, or whatever you might be. But if you're Christ, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. You're not. You'll be marked one of these days, and just you'll cater to your organization. That's all you'll ever know. And be condemned at the end. Our Heavenly Father, the hours are getting dark. Time is at hand. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Every sign that the Bible foretold is coming to pass. You promised all these things, and you said it would happen. We know that it is true.
Yes.
I pray, Father, that you'll be merciful today and will save the lost. Grant it, and may they be sealed with the Holy Ghost and not turn the Savior from them. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my. I know I've told the truth. I know. My sheep will hear my voice. Jesus said, like he said, there's a sign. How do you know he's here? This, the Holy Ghost is right here now.
Amen.
I hear him speak with tongues, interpret. I see him do signs more. And see him even in the last sign was to be the Messiah sign. Jesus said, just what was the last sign that Abraham had just before Sodom burned? That angel stood there, God himself in flesh. We've tucked that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Abraham called him Elohim. God stood there, a stranger, and watch what he called Abraham. Called Abraham his new name. He just got it a few days before. Instead of Abram, his Abraham. Called Sarah her prince's name. Abraham, where is your wife Sarah? How do you know he's married? How do you know he had a wife? And how do you know his name is Sarah? Said she's in the tent behind you. Said, I'm going to, personal pronoun there. I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. You know, I'm going to do this, I promise you. You waited for it for 25 years. And Sarah, in her heart, laughed and said, would I ever have joy with my Lord, seeing I'm old and past the years of bearing, he's old too. And the angel said, why did Sarah laugh then in her heart, this can't happen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How did he condemn the nations? When he stood to Peter and said, your name is Simon. You're the son of Jonas. He said, oh, that's it. When Philip come, got Nathanael, told Nathanael, said, nothing good could come out of Nazareth, said, come see. And when he come, looked at him and said, the old and Israelite, in whom there's no God, said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Went up to the way of Samaria. That's the Jews. Now the Samaritans, not Gentiles. We wasn't looking for no Messiah. We had a club on our back. We were heathens, see, worshiping idols. So he didn't perform that before Gentiles. But if he did it to the Jews and Samaritans, there's only three races, Ham, Shem, and Japheth's people. Now, if he did that to the Samaritan woman, he went to her. He said, bring me a drink. She said, it's not customary for you being a Jew, asked the Samaritan woman such. And he said, but if you knew who you were talking to, said, go get your husband then. She said, I have no husband. So that's right, you had five. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, we know, we have good teachers down in our country, down here in Samaria. We know that when Messiah cometh, he'll do this. But who are you? He said, I'm he. She went into the city and said, come see a man who's told me the things I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? And the Bible said they believed him to be the Messiah on account of what he told the woman.
Amen.
She know more about God than half the preachers of Hollywood. Been in her condition. Because she was trained by the Holy Spirit. There you are. He's God. He's still God. He certainly is. Look at him in the tree that morning when he looked down. Zacchaeus is going to hide to see where he's at. When he come by, he goes stop and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you for dinner. Look at blind Bartimaeus touching him out there. Thou son of David, have mercy. Stop Jesus and all that racket going on. See, he knew it. Look at the woman touched his garment, ran her off and sat down. See, he said, who touched me? Peter rebuked him and said, why say a thing like that? Look at the people here shaking hands with you and calling you a rabbi or so forth. Why'd you say a thing like that? He said, but I got weak. Virtue, strength went from me. He looked around and seen the little woman who and said, thy faith has saved thee, your blood issues over. Now he promised that same thing at the closing of the Gentile age. How many believes that?
Yes.
Now, does he keep his promise?
Amen.
I challenge you to believe it. Amen. That's how much I know he's here. You believe it?
Yes.
You just have faith and don't doubt it. You believe it? The Bible said, if thou canst believe. Is that right?
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That woman sitting right there is praying for her daughter. Got it inwardly bleeding. You believe with all your heart? All right. You can have what you ask for then. Amen. I don't know the person, never seen him in my life. You believe with all your heart? Right back, way back there. Don't you see that light? Standing right there? It's over a colored woman sitting in this end row back there. She's got on a bluish dress with a red kind of a white collar. She's praying for a brother-in-law that's got cancer. That's thus saith the Lord. Stand up back there, woman, every who I call. That is true, isn't it? Glory, as you have believed, so be it. I never seen a woman in my life. I hold my hands. I never seen her. You believe each year? What'd she do? She touched something. I'll turn my back. Say, you're looking at him. Psychology. Listen, believe me. Let the Lord God show himself God. Now I see a man standing before me. I'll just speak and whoever it is. The man's suffering with a heart trouble. He's wearing a dark suit and some kind of a little colonel tie like. He's a small man. Is he on his feet yet? His name is Coates. Believe with all your heart. Receive your healing. If you believe with all your heart, God bless you. Go home to heal. Seeking the Holy Ghost. Let the ministers stretch out their hands this way.